Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Coming at you for the first time since the Phils wrapped up the National League East title out there in Los Angeles on Monday. If you were up late enough to watch it, which I was, it was a really fun night. It was obviously a great game that ended up going extra innings, and the Phils win it in pretty exciting fashion in 10. And then, as they do per usual, the clubhouse celebration was a fun one to watch. Obviously, you have Garrett Stubbs back up here. He's leading the charge, and you know, a lot of beers, a lot of beer bongs going around, and they had the funnel going. So it was exciting. It was fun, but in a way, it felt a little more toned down than it did the past couple of years, if that makes any sense at all. It was like they had their celebration to begin, and then once, you know, it was 5-10 minutes, they were just standing around having beers, and it looked like a fun time. But at the same time, They all mentioned in their interviews, whether it was with T-Mac or John Clark or whoever was out there, that there's still much more work to be done and that this is only the first step for them this season, that they obviously are thinking World Series. So good stuff to see. Glad they were able to wrap up the division. Who would have thought after that series up in Queens a couple of weeks ago that they would have wrapped up the division so quickly and in the fashion that they did, with the Mets collapsing the way that they have over the past couple of weeks. I'll get into a little standings check later in the pod just to see where everybody's at, but it's great. They're two-time defending National League champions now, or National League East champions now, and for a team that didn't win a division for a long time, and as of, you know, 2 years ago, since 2011, it's good to see them as the dominant club back in the division once again. So hopefully it ends in a World Series this year. It would be a great way to sort of tie a bow on this era of Phillies baseball, and a great way to send, you know, Bryce and JT and Schwarber, Zach Wheeler, Nola, all these guys who have been here for an extended period of time, a good way to sort of, you know, remember their Phillies tenure to go out as champions. So there's a long way to go until that happens, though. So a lot to talk about here, and definitely want to get into sort of the lineup and the starting staff and the bullpen as we head towards the postseason, because a lot of decisions are going to have to get made within the next couple of weeks of how this lineup is going to shake out, and obviously how the rotation is going to shake out as well. So it's a big time for everybody, despite already clinching. And they are still, you know, pushing to make sure that they secure that first round bye, because I understand that, you know, taking 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers pretty much locked that up, but you still don't want to give them any sort of life to think that they could potentially get the bye still, because it is clearly an important thing. I think that people have way overblown the, you know, rest isn't a good thing over the past couple of years. You had the Yankees and Dodgers last year, who were the number one seeds in both leagues, end up making the World Series. So I don't think that it is a detriment whatsoever, because I understand that the Phillies beat the Braves 2 years in a row, and that's how this, I don't want to say myth, but this theory kind of got started. But getting a first round bye in the Major League Baseball playoffs, I think, is crucial to, you know, advancing to the World Series, and You obviously only have to win two series instead of three, and baseball is so fluky at times. You know, you play a bad couple of games in the wild card round, and, you know, you get bounced. So I think getting that first round bye really, really important. But it does feel like they are sort of locked into that two seed, because as of right now, with the loss last night, if the Brewers go 6-4 in their final 10, the Phillies would have to go 9-0 to pass them for the number one seed. So you probably can cross that off of the, you know, goal list or the checklist for the Phillies. And it feels like they're probably going to be slated right into that two seed, where they would play the winner of the Dodgers and, you know, the Mets series if the Mets were to make it. So that's sort of the outlook of how they, you know, what they have to play for right now and going into this last, you know, week plus of the season, what they're going to be playing for here. So want to get into the lineup. And as we sort of roll into the end here, what I'm looking to see out of guys and how, you know, everyone performed over the past week or so, because this was another great week of baseball for the Phillies. Since that Mets series up at Citi Field, they've not lost a single series. They have taken care of business, done what they needed to do, and it really does feel like it's all coming together at the right time for this baseball team. And I think that's mainly because you've had guys in this lineup, specifically, you know, the players at the bottom of the lineup, coming through for them when it matters most. I think that if Bryce and Schwarber and JT and Trey Turner, guys of that nature, were really, really hot right now and they were sort of carrying the team, and you had the guys towards the bottom of the lineup not being able to produce as much, I think that's where you would maybe be a little concerned going into the postseason, thinking, well, we'll see if they can keep this up. I'm not sure if, you know, the Phillies can sustain this type of production from a lot of these guys. It's the opposite right now. You have guys at the bottom of the lineup picking those guys up in a number of different spots. Like, you look at that home run from Rafael Marchand the other night. I mean, what an absolute, you know, big spot for Rafi Marchand to come up with a home run there. And you've got Brandon Marsh, who's maybe playing the best baseball of his Phillies career right now, it seems like. Every time he's up in a big spot, feel very confident in him to at least put a really productive at-bat together and put them in a great spot to win. Max Kepler has done a total 180 over the past couple of months, ever since the trade deadline, to, you know, be in that platoon role and to really thrive in it. I think it's a huge testament to, you know, what he's been able to overcome mentally with not being an everyday player. And I think even Nick Castellanos over the last, I would say, couple of weeks to a month or so, has been much better than he had been over the course of the summer. So we've got a lot of those guys at the bottom of the lineup being able to produce for you in a night-in, night-out basis. And look, Weston Wilson, another guy, the other night hits a big home run to get them back into that ballgame. So getting contributions from those guys is what makes a winning team great. And I've made the 2017 Eagles comparison before, and a lot of different people have, but that's what we saw out of the 2017 Eagles. You had Corey Clement in the Super Bowl with an absolutely unbelievable performance. You had Patrick Robinson against the Vikings with, you know, the play of the game, making that pick six, and they go from there. Nick Foles clearly being the Super Bowl MVP, a guy that was not expected to be one of the biggest producers on that team that year. So I think that this has the makeup of a championship team. And for a lot of different guys to be able to produce, it makes his team all that deeper and better. So really good stuff and encouraging stuff to see from the bottom of the order guys. But I mentioned Bryce Harper and him maybe not being the Bryce that we've seen over the past few years, you know, during the course of the season. A lot of that had to do with the wrist injury and just, you know, the back and forth from the IL in May and June and early July there. But I think we're seeing a much better Bryce Harper right now, a much more locked in Bryce Harper. It feels like he's going the other way a lot. He's seeing a lot of pitches, which is always important from Bryce. The plate discipline for him is always something where the more he has of it, it feels like the more productive he is at the plate. And that home run that he hit on Monday night to give them the lead in that game, I know it wasn't the lead that ended up holding, but what a big Bryce home run. And that feels like it's one of those homers where he hits that and it's like, let's go. Like, let's go towards October. Let's have a really productive postseason. And until he doesn't, I always am going to trust Bryce to come up big when it comes to the postseason. He's just that type of performer, and he's still one of the best players in baseball. Now, is his numbers and his production over a full 162 going to be that of an Aaron Judge or a Shohei or even a Kyle Schwarber at this point? Probably not, but he's a big game player, and he's done it for so long to where I think that if he's up in a big spot and put in the postseason, I have all the faith in the world for him to come up and at least put on a really productive at-bat, and if not, get a really big hit. So I think that Bryce is in a good spot right now. I think that it's important for him to feel confident heading into the postseason, because I mean, you've seen it the last couple of years. He can turn it on in an instant like that. And if they go on to win that Mets series last year, and clearly they did not play their best baseball in Queens, and that's the main reason why they got bounced. But that game two home run jump-started the entire team. And I just expect him to, you know, he knows that this might be one of the last runs for this core specifically. And it feels like this club and his teammates around him have meant a lot to him over the course of the last few years. So if he can, you know, come up big for this team one more time and just be able to put on a postseason to remember, it would be really a special thing, I think, for him and the town to be able to share that. So excited for Bryce, excited for them. And it feels like this is not even just on a Bryce note, but just on a Phillies note. Last year, I went into the postseason with such trepidation and such nervousness and angst that this team wasn't going to perform well, and ultimately that is what ended up happening. But this year, it really feels the total opposite. Like, I am excited for this postseason. I'm excited for this team to make another run at it because it feels like they're finally, and more than 22, more than 23 even, they're finally playing their best baseball at the end of the season when the time is right. So I think that going into the postseason with that confidence, just as a group, not even just guys individually, it's something they really haven't experienced before. So just excited for the postseason. I feel much better about it, I think, than I did over the past few years, to where you're going in, you're not that hot. We know the Phillies record, you know, after the London series last year, and it ended up, you know, sort of proving to be true that they weren't playing their best baseball at the right time. I think it's the opposite this year, and that's sort of what has me really excited. But a big part of that and why they're going to be so much more confident going into the postseason, I think, is because of Harrison Bader. And Bader's cooled off a little bit. Like, I didn't expect him to hit 500, essentially, for the rest of the year. And, you know, that hot streak he had over, you know, those couple of weeks leading into this Dodgers series was really, really special. But he's still just making a lot of winning plays for this team. And the defense in the outfield speaks for itself. He might be the most confident center fielder I've ever watched, just the way he backpedals on the ball. And I know they call it the crab walk, and just the camaraderie he's built around the team too. I know there's the what a gift joke that seems to be going around the Phillies clubhouse, which is something that, you know, good. All winning teams have their inside jokes and something that just, you know, brings guys together. So I think he's one of those players that is just somebody that everyone loves in the clubhouse. Feels like he's grown close with Marshy and grown close with Castellanos and Kepler, all those guys. And for him to not only have the production on the field that he's had, but for him to have the impact in the clubhouse in just a month's time. Like, remember, this guy got traded here a month and a half ago, and he's already, I mean, made such an impact on the team. I feel like he's been here forever. So really good stuff from Bader, and I'm just excited to see him in the postseason as well, because if you remember 2022 with the Yankees, that series he had against Cleveland where he was hitting bombs left and right, and he really carried them to that World Series and ended up being such a critical part for them. He was in that division series. He hit those five home runs and ends up carrying them to the championship series, and they end up going on to lose to the Astros, who eventually beat the Phillies. So, but just excited for him to maybe have a series like that in a Phillies uniform here. And he's just one of those players to where he could be remembered as a legend in this town if he ends up having a good postseason and being the guy that he's been over the past month and a half. So good stuff from Bader. And just also another thing I'm sort of wondering about him as we move closer to the playoffs here, do they move him up in the lineup once Trey Turner's back? And he's done a good job in the leadoff spot. I think he's been everything they could have asked for and more. But when Trey gets back, do you try to, you know, enhance the top of that lineup a little bit more? And do you maybe move him to second where you have Trey, Bader, Schwarber, Harper? Or, I mean, you could flip Harper and Schwarber too if you wanted to give Bryce a little protection there with Schwarber.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you do a lot of interesting things. So I think that's a debate once the postseason comes around to where do you end up, you know, putting Trey Turner and Harrison Bader in the top of that lineup there once he's back. So definitely interested to see how Rob Thompson goes about that and how he goes about tinkering it. But hey, Rob Thompson's been pressing all the right buttons, it seems, since the trade deadline. And it feels like whatever Rob says at this point, I'm pretty much okay with. I've had my doubts with Rob over the past few days and even the other night where Rafi Marchand is hitting, and I'm thinking to myself, they have three catchers on the roster. Why is JT not up in this spot? Now, it comes out later that he said JT was feeling a little ill. I don't know if that was because he was hungover or what was going on, but he puts Rafi Marchand up in that spot, and he comes through for him, and it just feels like Rob Thompson's pressing all the right buttons right now. So interested to see how he goes about the lineup once Trey Turner's back. And speaking of Trey, it looks like he's going to be back before the postseason even begins. From the reports that have come out about Trey, it seems like he's progressing really well and that this is obviously a much shorter term hamstring injury than he suffered last year. So that's really good to see. And you just hope that he can be as effective, especially on the base paths, as he was throughout the course of the year. And I don't think he's going to be as aggressive as maybe he was before the hamstring injury, which is a shame. But as long as he's running the bases effectively and he's not scared to sort of test that hamstring a little bit, because that's what happened right after he came back from it in 24 or last year. It just felt like he wasn't being the normal aggressive Trey that we've seen. And that was probably because of a little fear, with the hamstring and just making sure that he didn't tweak it again. So interested to monitor that situation in terms of how he's ends up running the bases and if he looks comfortable out there or not. But all indications pointing to him being good to go for the postseason. A bye would obviously help with the rest factor. So that's good to see as well. So Trey Turner looking to be back for the postseason, which is a great sign to see. So a couple more things before I get to the staff real quick. Otto Kemp, I think, has done a really good job with Alec Beaumont. I know he's not the greatest fielding third baseman. That's another guy at the bottom of the lineup I didn't even mention. He's had some really big hits for them this year, and I just think that after he got sent down for the first time after being called up, I think he made some adjustments down there and really gained some confidence and has been a much better hitter since he's come back up for the second time. And I know Alec Boehm is going to be, starting in this lineup at third base. And he deserves it. He has obviously been a productive player for this team over the past couple of years in terms of driving in runs and having good at-bats. But I just wonder if Alec Boehm is struggling when he comes back and has some of the postseason struggles that he did last year, loses that confidence. I wonder if Rob Thompson ever thinks to turn to Otto maybe in the postseason to make a start there. I know they're both right-handed hitters, and Boehm is probably the better hitter at the end of the day, but I like what I've seen from Otto Kemp, and I feel comfortable with him coming up in a big spot in the postseason potentially. So that's a quick one to monitor. And one JT gripe really quick before we move on to the staff real quick, and this actually ties into the pitching staff well, so I'll make that transition right now. I feel like, and the metrics support this, JT has taken a lot of balls out of the zone in terms of framing and getting strikes in there. I know that the umpires, at the end of the day, it's on them to make the right call. And if a ball's in the zone, the ball's in the zone. It shouldn't really matter. And once the ABS system is in play, it will essentially take this out of the game completely. But JT's taken a bunch of strikes out of the zone. And even last night when Luzardo doesn't end up getting out of that inning and Otani ends up he ends up giving up the run there, I thought that JT could have kept that ball in the zone a little better. And the whole reason he goes on one knee is to sort of swipe the ball up and keep it in the zone to keep the ball up. And a lot of those strikes down, I feel like he's just pulling out of the zone. So just a quick little thing I observed and something that I hope doesn't bite them at any point during the postseason. So sticking with the staff here, wanted to talk about the, you know, good stuff from Lizardo once again last night. I thought, obviously, he got into some trouble early on, gave up a couple home runs, but really settled down as the game went on. I think that's important as the postseason comes around here. He's going to be one of the top three starters. Rob basically said that Christopher Sanchez is going to be pitching game one and that he's still deciding between Ranger and Lizardo for game two. I tend to think that it's going to be Ranger just because of the change of stuff to where he's a much, you know, softer throwing pitcher with a lot of breaking stuff and you know, keeps hitters off balance, to where Lizardo is sort of like Sanchez, where he's a power pitcher and is a much more similar look, and you don't want to give that to them 2 days in a row. But I thought that it was good stuff from Lizardo last night to be able to, you know, battle back and give them seven pretty strong innings. And I thought, and I just mentioned how I won't question Rob Thompson anymore, and I will question him right here. Didn't love how he sent him back out there for the eighth against Ohtani. I understand it's a lefty and you want to get him out there, but at the same time, I like Lizardo got a very high leverage out to end the seventh inning. And when you bring him back out in the eighth, it's an emotional letdown to, you know, come back out there and have to, you probably thought he was done, I'm assuming, after that last out there. For him to come back out on the mound and have to relock in, it's something in the postseason I hope they don't do it. Maybe they just didn't want to give the Dodgers the extra look on Strom because they're probably going to end up facing them in the division series there, in which case, okay, I get that. But I thought it was an interesting decision to leave Lizardo out there last night for that last out, which, you know, obviously he didn't get. Ohtani hits the home run. Didn't end up mattering in the end. They scored zero runs. So Sanchez, similar thing. Thought it was great that he was able to bounce back from the couple home runs he gave up early. I thought that his stuff was good. I just thought he left a couple pitches out over the middle of the plate, and Dodgers were able to take advantage and, you know, hit a couple bombs off him. And that was the first time I think he'd given up two home runs in like 2 months, and only like the second time he's done it all year. So not too worried about Sanchez. Thought he, you know, and it was also the day after the celebration, so maybe a little too much to drink the night before for Christopher Sanchez. So still feel good about Sanchez. Like him going in game one. And look, he's been money for them all year. So feel confident about where he is at going into the postseason. Ranger, big start on Monday night as well. Thought he looked really good. Glad he was able to go deep into a game. And want him to feel confident going into the postseason a little bit. And he is a start coming up against the Diamondbacks, to where it'll probably be his last start. And we'll see how Rob does. Maybe he'll make one more. But over the past couple of years, it feels like he hadn't been pitching his best going into the postseason. We know the fall off in the second half of last year. And even at 22, I remember he got absolutely destroyed in Houston going into the postseason. Would be nice to have Ranger feel good going into the playoffs this year. And just for him to, you know, be able to have a couple of good starts to, you know, ride off of as we, you know, enter the division series here. And it just feels like, at least this year, Ranger hasn't had that fall off that we've seen in the second half of season. So want him to feel confident going into it. But again, I do trust him in a big game scenario because he's just done it so many times before. Even in that Mets start last year where it felt like he was falling apart every inning, he just found a way to battle and get through five. So that will be interesting to see how the last couple of Ranger starts go as well. And last thing, we got a Taiwan and Walker Buehler piggyback this weekend in Arizona. So feels like they're done with the six-man rotation and they're going to be trying Walker Buehler out in the bullpen. That will be interesting to see as the postseason goes along, because Walker Buehler's gotten a ton of big outs in the postseason before, and he could definitely be a weapon out of the bullpen for this team to give them some length or just give them some important outs, maybe in a you know, a 5-0 game, whether they're winning or losing, and be able to contribute in that sort of way. So I'll get to the bullpen before we get to the weekend preview here. Duran gave up the homer the other night, but shook JT off twice there, and they typically don't do that, so don't think Duran will be doing that again. Sort of left a hanger out in the middle of the plate for Andy Páez to just destroy, but comes back the next night. 1-2-3 looked great, so not worried there. David Robertson, still great stuff from David Robertson, despite giving up that home run to Ohtani the other night. I just think he's pitching with a sort of confidence that, you know, out of a 40-year-old who was on the street a couple months ago, is pretty impressive. And I think he saved his best for last in terms of stint with the Phillies, this being his third one. So good stuff from David Robertson. Still monitoring my Kirkering and Matt Strom trust level. I think Strom's been better as of late. I'm still worried just with Kirkering about, you know, the fastball command and just the confidence in using the fastball there. And in a big game spot, he hasn't really proven to me yet that he can be a guy that can shut down and be a shutdown guy and just have a slow heartbeat. It just feels like he's sort of folded in those moments over the past couple of years. So interested to see how they end up using him, if Robertson's the main high leverage righty behind Duran or not. So that'll be an interesting decision Rob Thompson has to make as well. And so I mentioned Walker Buehler going to the pen potentially in the postseason. We will see that for the first time tomorrow night as the Phillies head to Arizona, take on the Diamondbacks, who they're fighting for a wild card spot right with the Mets right now. And they are now, you know, the team right behind the Mets in the wild card with their two games behind the Mets there, as the Mets are 79-74, Diamondbacks are 77-76, and the Reds and Giants are right behind the D-backs at 576-76 there as well. So big series for the Diamondbacks, and we'll be interested to see, you know, how hard they play against the Phillies, considering that they're fighting for their lives right now as the season winds down. So Friday night, 9:40, you've got the Walker Buehler piggyback, and Rob Thompson made sure to make that joke when announcing that. So that's good to see. We'll see how much they get out of Taiwan. We'll see how long Walker Buehler goes after him. And they're going up against Ryan Nelson, who has actually been pretty good as of late. Five consecutive quality starts out there for the Diamondbacks, so he has looked good as of late. And Saturday, 8:10, you've got Aaron Nola, who's coming off, again, a not-so-great start against the Royals. It feels like he's probably the fourth starter going into the postseason on this team right now. And, you know, anyone can really predict how it's going to go for him at this point, because it just has kind of looked the same all year, to where he's made a couple starts, not great, and then makes a start, shows some encouraging signs where you go, okay, maybe this is a turn of a corner for Aaron Nola. You know, and then he sort of reverts back to the way he's been this season. Just feels like a lost year for Dole in a sense. But it would be nice to have him get some confidence going into the postseason, because he's probably going to start a game for this team. He will be going against Zach Gallen, who, again, like Nola, not had a great season, but been better in the second half of the year and still has gone pretty deep into games and eaten some innings for the Diamondbacks out there. And then Sunday at 4:10, Ranger against Eduardo Rodriguez, who has been pretty awful since signing with the Diamondbacks and has also been hurt as well there for the past couple of years. So that'll be the matchup to wrap this series up on Sunday. And then, you know, season's basically got 1 week left of it. You've got next week the Marlins coming to town for three games, and then Marlins coming to town for three games, and then the Phillies wrap up the season with the Minnesota Twins for a three-game set. So that'll be it for the year, and then we got postseason time, which is really, really exciting. So thank you, as always, for listening. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back next week, as always. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. We'll see you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.